Psalm 126, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, verse number 5 and 6. I want to preach on the making of a missionary, the making of a missionary. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. I'm going to give you three very simple attributes, but very necessary attributes. I want to enlist you tonight as a missionary. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Heavenly Father, meet with us tonight, Lord. And Lord, I think that what happens this month in our heart is going to go a long ways towards the entire rest of the year and how effective we are here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church at reaching people within the boundaries of our physical influence and outside the boundaries of our physical influence. So I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to stay open-hearted. Lord, I don't ever want to get to a point where there's an area of my life where I say to you, I've done enough, I give enough, and I'm not going to do any more. I want to always be open to the leading of your sweet Holy Spirit in all areas of my life. Lord, I pray that that we would grow in 07. We wouldn't want to just repeat 06, but we'd want to go beyond what you allowed us to do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the reaching of souls and spreading the gospel. And so I pray, Lord, that this message, along with what was done in our hearts this morning, would go towards that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I mentioned this morning that I spent some time in Missionary Hall this past week praying, getting my heart ready for Missions Emphasis Month. By the way, that's a wonderful place to spend time. It's a wonderful place to pray. If you are driving by the church and you've got a few extra minutes during the week, I'm not going to say you'll always be able to get in, but most of the time somebody's here. And if you had a few extra minutes and you would just like to swing in and park the car and spend a little time walking up and down Missionary Hall and praying for missionaries, that'd be a wonderful thing. Be a wonderful thing. I try to do that each and every week and multiple times, actually, times during the week. I want to pray for our missionaries. Now, let me speak to your hearts just for a minute. Let me give you some philosophy. And I want to read this scripture to you, and we spent quite a bit of time on it last year during Missions Emphasis Month, and it's known as a missions verse. Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." So it says what we ought to do, says how we ought to do it, but with Holy Ghost power, and then it tells us where we ought to do it. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And then there's that wonderful little word, both. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to impact our Jerusalem for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church, while we're influencing our Jerusalem, also ought to be impacting our Judea. I think Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be impacting our Samaria. I think Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be impacting the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Brother Jerry, where is the mission field? Well, I've gone to many churches. I think of one in particular in Pennsylvania where somebody had made a beautiful wooden sign and put it right above the doors as you walked out from the church out into the sidewalk and the parking lot and on out into the area beyond. And this sign says, "You are now entering the mission field." And let me just establish that, folks. The mission field is anywhere outside of these four walls is the mission field. Anywhere. Anywhere. I've got a kind of personal pet peeve about this. I'm not upset if people do it, but sometimes we make a great distinction between home missions and foreign missions. I don't like that. I wish we'd stop doing that, because every area outside the four walls of this church is the mission field. And, well, Brother Jerry, with a certain percentage of our money is staying here in America and certain of it's going out, and I think this and I... Good night. It's all the mission field. We need to be impacting Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so to do that, we have to have missionaries. And let me say this. We have in our midst here today a missionary that's going to go to the uttermost. While he's going to the uttermost, it would be wrong for us not to go to our Jerusalem. Every single member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to have a missionary mentality. A missionary mentality. And I think to get that, you have to develop some things in your life. If you're going to be a missionary, whether it is to Australia or whether it is to right here in this area, in Green, Clay, Sullivan County, and the regions beyond, there's certain ingredients that every missionary has to have. You'll not be a missionary until you incorporate these basic, and I'm giving you the basics. I know we could build on this, and I think this month we will build on it. But let me just give you the bare essentials. If you'll get these three things, it will equip you to be a missionary. It'll equip you to be a missionary. Brother Howe, we need a missionary to Crane Naval Base. And by the way, men, we need a missionary to wherever God has put you to work. We need a missionary over there at the Miriam plant. We do. We need a missionary that'll not only go around, a man that'll not go, just go around the homes cleaning carpets, but will take it as a mission field. By the way, Brother Randy tells me before he gets done, when he leaves and does a house, he always gives them a packet from our church, an invitation to church, and a gospel witness. Amen. Amen. You see, we need missionaries, folks, that will influence this area for Jesus Christ. Now, we've got to be careful. Listen, we've got to be careful. Brother Jerry, I give to missions, so that's my part. Well, amen and amen, and God bless you for that, and that's important. But it's not right for us just to pay somebody else to be a missionary and not be a missionary ourselves. And so let's all decide that in 2007, we're going to be missionaries. We're going to be missionaries. We want to reach this region. Now, let me give you three basic ingredients that each missionary needs to have. And if you don't have these things, you cannot and will not be a missionary. Number one, you have to have feet that are willing to go. Feet that are willing to go. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth. Do you know that the word go is found 1,352 times in the Bible? Do you know what you would have left if you took the little word go out of the Bible? Well, you know what you'd have. You'd have an NIV. That's what you'd have. They've taken every other word out of there. So 1,352 times. I know all of these aren't associated with evangelism, but that little word go is powerful. God, it seems like in the Bible, is always trying to send somebody somewhere. Now, he came to Brother DeLong and he said, I want you to go to Australia. But you know what? He's not going to just speak to a handful of men and send them across the seas. He's going to speak to every one of us and has, through his word, and commanded us to go. That's why the Bible has these verses that we have said and quoted so many times and read so many times. I'm afraid maybe we've allowed them to become commonplace in our life. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I love that. Go, so, and lo. You know, that'll make a good sermon right there. Go, first of all, then sow the good seed, and then lo, remember this, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You say, well, God's with me. He's with you in a special way when you're out sowing. And when you're out going, he's with you in a special way. Mark 16:15, and he said unto him, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I love this. Luke 14:22-23. Then the master of the house said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now, folks, I need to enlist you as a missionary. We need, if we're going to reach this area, for every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be a missionary. Now, how do I be a missionary, Brother Jerry? The first thing you have to do is you have to be willing to go. You must have feet that are willing to go. Now, in 06, if you did not go, then I want you to change that in 07 and begin to go. I have a lofty goal for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some people would dare say it's unreasonable, but here it is. I don't want to rest. I'm not going to quit praying, and I'm not going to quit badgering you until every person, under the sound of my voice, every week of their life, goes out into the mission field and sows the seed and begins to make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain the difference, because we've got a wrong mentality in our churches. See, people say, well, Brother Jerry, I serve God in the church. I serve God in the church. And Brother Eric, you've been involved with firefighting, all of these things. Amen? Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the job of every fireman is. The job of every fireman, the job, the responsibility, the purpose of every fireman is to go out and put out fires. Basic, isn't it? Basic. Now, let me tell you where we have a breakdown. Now, the firemen, as they sit and wait and they're there at the station, you know what? They're not always going out all the time on calls. So while they're there, everyone is assigned a certain job or responsibility. You're in charge of keeping the equipment clean. You're in charge of washing the trucks. You're in charge of making sure the guys are fed. You're in charge. And so in the firehouse, we are given jobs. Or we say jobs, but really they are chores or responsibilities or duties to keep the firehouse running well. Now, I hope you're staying with me here. Are you listening to me? What happens in our churches is we forget what the main purpose is and the job of every Christian. Well, Brother Jerry, I've got this responsibility in the church. I serve the God by, I'm a worker in the children's church. I'm the Sunday school secretary. I'm the financial secretary. I'm the secretary in the church secretary. Or I am this, or I am that. Or I have this job. I work on the buses, or I do that. That's fine. Folks, listen to me. We all need to have a job in the firehouse to make sure everything's kept up and running. But that is not our main responsibility. Our main responsibility is putting out fire. And what we have in churches, somebody wants to get a little job and say, well, this is how I serve God. This is my job. No, your job is to put out fires. Your job is to rescue people that are burning or in danger of burning. That's our job. And so we need everyone. It's not my calling. It's not a calling. It's a command. Well, that's not my thing. Well, folks, whether it is or not, you're still commanded to go. It is your thing. It's my thing. It's everybody's thing. And it needs to be our thing. Now, you say, well, Brother Jerry, I've heard sermons like this before, and I'm just going to sit there. Well, you're going to hear it again and again and again, because I'm not letting off this. Well, Brother Jerry, I've got a reason. I've got an excuse. No, you don't. No, you do not. If you still draw breath and you're a born-again Christian, then there's a way that you can impact the lost for Jesus Christ. Amen? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, whatever. Go, 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 go! You see, now you must decide when to go. Let me just give you some basic things. You must decide when to go. You're not going to go if you don't decide when you're going to go. Well, I'll go when it's convenient. You know what? It's never been convenient for me. Never. Not one time has it ever been convenient for me to go. Well, I'll go when I have time. You won't ever go then. Well, I'll go when I feel like it. Forget it. You're not going to feel like it. You must decide when you're going to go. When you're going to go. I'm going to give you some very specific things by the time we're done here. I hope it'll help you. You must decide when you're going to go. That means you got a schedule going into your life. You got a schedule going into your life. You just got to lock it in and say, for on this day every week during this time slot, I'm going to go out and I'm going to spread the gospel. Now, hopefully that you're doing it all the time, and hopefully that you don't get into the mentality of I just soul win during these 2 hours. But folks, I still think it's right to dedicate some time to specifically to go. Now, I want you to be a missionary at work. I want you to be a missionary at the store. I say, well, Brother Jerry, as I go around, I pass. All right, that's good. But you ought to go. You ought to spend some time going. You got to decide when you're going to go. You must decide where you're going to go. Where you're going to go. And then you must decide to keep going. To keep going. Now, I'm going to challenge you in these areas. I'm going to give you some very specific things at the end of the message. So stay with me. So number one, feet that are willing to go. Listen, Brother DeLong, I mean, God can call and speak to the hearts of everybody in the world and challenge them in the mission field, but if their feet aren't willing to go, they'll never get anywhere from where they're at. They'll never make it there. You must be willing to go. Number two, you must have a heart that is willing to weep. A heart that is willing to weep. Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I will give you this. The Bible order is always go, then weep. Go, then weep. It's not weep, then go. It's go, then weep. You say, well, Brother Jerry, as soon as I get a burden, I'll go. Well, you're never going to go. You know where you get the burden? You get the burden when you obey, whether you feel like it or not, and you go. And as you go, God breaks your hearts over souls. And so you need to go and you need to weep. You know what? Let me just give you this. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. I memorized it early. It's won me a lot of candy in my life. Jesus wept. John 11:35. Sunday school teacher said, I'll give a piece of candy to anybody that can quote a verse. Buddy, I always had that one ready. Amen. But it's not just the shortest book verse in the Bible. It may be one of the most important verses in the Bible. You know, if Jesus wept and he's our supreme example, we ought to be weeping Christians. We ought to be weeping Christians. I love this verse, Luke 19:41. And when he, speaking of Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Stay with me. I'm going to tie all this together. You know, Paul, the greatest missionary in the Bible, wept. He said this, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You know, Paul didn't just preach, he wept. He wept. I will tell you this, that probably the meetings in which I've seen the greatest impact, when I've gone around the country from time to time, I leave and go out and preach and do a little preaching outside here, the sermons that have made the greatest impact in young people's lives are sermons that were not shouted out but wept out. We're too clinical in our presentation of the gospel. When's the last time while you were talking to somebody and they seemed not to care, did a tear trickle out of the corner of your eye, or you looked at them and God touched your heart and softened your heart and you said, ma'am, sir, I know you're busy and I know this may not seem important, but I care about you and God loves you and he sent me here. And you know what? Sometimes they don't listen because you know what? It's just words. Words without weeping. Words without weeping. I remember when I began to go soul winning, I asked the Lord and made a commitment to the Lord that I'd spend my life being a soul winner. By the way, I did that when I was a 16-year-old boy, just for my 17th birthday. I made a commitment. God broke my heart over this responsibility of being a soul winner, and I came forward and in a meeting. From that day forward, when I came back as a teenage boy, still in Christian school, still in the youth group, long before this church had youth soul winning or any kind of teen soul winning program, as a teenager, I put a shirt and tie on and came down here on Thursday night and showed up to men's visitation, and I haven't stopped since. Folks, listen to me. When I got decided I'd start doing it, I wasn't going very long before I figured out that I would never be effective in winning people to Christ until God broke my heart over souls, and there was something just besides words in my presentation. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go to a door and sit there and weep openly and tears running down your face for get somebody to listen to you, but I will tell you this. They know whether or not you care. They know whether or not you're real. They know whether or not you have God compassion in your heart as you present the gospel. You know how many times in my life I've had somebody begin to brush me off and I'd say, sir, ma'am, and they'd look in my eyes and I'd look at their eyes and I believe they saw compassion. I think they saw a tenderness, a touch. Tears filled my, ma'am, sir, I know that I'm just a bother to you. I know that maybe you're very busy, but God loves you. And I'm here for a reason. Would you at least read the track, or would you give me a few minutes? And how many times that's changed the heart of the person who was ready to brush me off and allowed me to give the gospel to somebody. Are you listening to me? We have got to get to the point where we're brokenhearted over lost souls. We've got dry-eyed Christianity, and it's not working. It's just not working. Dry-eyed Christianity doesn't work. It just doesn't, folks. You see, I remember one day, and I think this is one of the reasons God let me spend the time I did in Chicago. And you talk about masses of people. I could get in the car right now and drive you to the spot where this happened. I remember I visited all day one day on my bus route, little 4-block by 4-block area of Chicago with thousands of people. It's hard for us country people to really understand the concentration of humanity that lives in the inner city. I remember I had visited all day, and you know what? I tried to give the gospel. I tried to witness. I had some situations on our young people's lives there, and it just seemed like the devil fought me tooth and nail all day long. And I was walking down the alley, and the sun was getting ready to set, and I felt like I just spun my wheels all day long. And all of a sudden, the great responsibility of the thousands of people in that little neighborhood that I'd been assigned fell heavily on my shoulders. It was snowing out. There was snow on the ground, and I remember falling to my knees in an alleyway and laying down and weeping my heart out, saying, God, how in the world am I going to reach all of these people? How am I going to break through their unbelief? God, you've got to help me. You've got to speak through me. I can't do this on my own. Let me tell you something. You have one of those experiences, you won't get it. You'll get up from the ground a different person. You just will. I'm not an example of anything, but I'm just telling you the Bible has laid out a plan, a formula, and what we want to do is we want to skip this weeping part, and it just doesn't work. Doesn't work. Young preacher boys, listen to me. You better learn to preach with a tear in your eye. You better let God soften your heart and touch your heart. Well, I can't wait till I get a chance to preach. You just want to hear yourself scream. Why don't you hear yourself weep a little bit? People are going to be more impressed with tears than they are how loud you can holler or how high you can jump. I mean, make it real. So we've got to have feet that are willing to go and a heart that is willing to weep. And whether it's in Australia, whether it's in North Dakota, whether it's in Jacksonville, Indiana, you have to have these ingredients to be effective in reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you the third one. All these are in Psalm 126. A mouth, number three, a mouth that is willing to speak. Now these are the three essentials, folks. Feet that are willing to go, a heart that is willing to weep, and a mouth that is willing to speak. For whosoever, the Bible says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Acts chapter 5, verse 20, God appeared to Paul, the great missionary, and he said this simple statement, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go, stand, and do what? Speak. You see, you have to have a mouth that's willing to speak. You got to have feet that's willing to go, a heart willing to weep, and mouth that is willing to speak. We need folks at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to begin from the time they leave this church on Sunday night to the time they re-enter on Wednesday, and then from Wednesday to Sunday as they go out into the world, we need Christians that will open their mouth and speak forth the words of this life. You have to share the gospel if you're going to be an effective missionary. Now look right up here and let me help you. So Brother Jerry, that's hard for me. Some of you are saying, I don't even know for sure if I know what to do, but I don't know how to do it. Brother Reiser, would you go back there and would you pull off the bulletin board the map that has our circle on it? And I want you to just look up here, give me the last few minutes and focus in. Necessary ingredients. Feet that are willing to go, a heart that is willing to weep, and a mouth that is willing to speak. You know, the Bible has instructed us that we ought to go soul winning two by two, or in twos. Thank you very much. And you know what? I think that that's the pattern that certainly the Lord Jesus Christ used when he sent his disciples out two by two. We see that often in the Bible where a missionary hardly ever went out by himself. He always had somebody, and I think there's some accountability there. I think there's some encouragement there. I think there's a lot of reasons. Brother DeLong gave me some insights on that even today when we were talking. But let me just share something with you. I promise you this. If we're going to send 100 missionaries out, and we could, there's over 100 people sitting in this room right now. Listen to me, children. You know children can be missionaries. Children are some of the best missionaries in all of the world. I'm talking about children sitting right here. Maybe you're just 8, 9, 10. Maybe you're looking up here saying, Brother Jerry, what are you talking about? Man, you can grab you some tracts and take them with you. And as you follow your mama through the stores and different places, you know what? I've never in my life seen an adult refuse a tract from a child. You know, you can be a missionary and you ought to be a missionary. Teenagers, you ought to be missionaries. Young adults, you ought to be missionaries. Middle-aged folks, you ought to be missionaries. Senior citizens, you ought to be missionaries. And if you're going to be a missionary, you have to have these three basic elements. You cannot evangelize without them. Feet that are willing to go, a heart that's willing to weep, and a mouth that is willing to speak. Now, I want you to pay attention and listen to me for a few minutes because we're going to have to redo some things out of pure necessity because of the building program this year. And I want to challenge you for a few minutes. So let me have your heart. I want to get this building up this year. I've talked to you about that. At the end of this month, I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider increasing your commitment towards missions giving. I spent January talking about finances. I want to ask you to lock in and every week give something to the building fund. We need to get this building up. Folks, it's essential to what we're doing. But I do not want to spend this entire year just building a building and stop building a church. Are you listening to me? We're going to have to, on purpose, if we're going to put this building up for the money that we have, there's no way around it, gentlemen. We have to do some of the work ourselves. I would love to have the $1 million, and that's about what it would be, $1 million to do a turnkey job on that building. That's where you hire every single thing out. You just hand somebody the money. We go about our business, and they come in one day and toss you the keys and say, it's done, there you go. I'd love to be able to do that, but that would be $1 million for this building if we were to do it. We can't do that. So we've got to build, but we also cannot just build a building in 07 and say that's our accomplishment. We have to build the church. We have to build the Sunday schools. We can't stop evangelizing. We have to build bus routes. We have to build. That let us rise up and build. The theme of 06 isn't just about building a building. It's about building every area of the church. And I challenge you to that on our New Year's Eve service. Now look up here and listen to me. I want to help some of you. On Saturdays, I'll tell you this, for the most part, when the weather breaks, Saturdays are going to have to start being work days around here. Now, that means that I'm not going to be able to have adult visitation. I'm not being caustic here. I'm not being cruel. But you know what? That will affect very little of you, very few of you. But we need to evangelize this area for Jesus Christ. And we need to get you busy being a missionary. Well, Brother Jerry, I'll help with the building because that's more my gift. Folks, soul winning, witnessing is not a gift. It's not a calling. It's a command. Now, I know, but Brother Ross preached that for years, and I weathered that storm, and I'll weather yours too. And you'll stand before God one of these days, and you'll stand before God having sat under two preachers that's told you this, and out of your stubbornness refused to do it. Shame on you. What a wicked thing. Amen. What a wicked thing to just decide that you're going to get hard-hearted about never wanting to go out and tell anybody about Jesus. What in the world's wrong with you? Folks, there's something fundamentally wrong. Something fundamentally wrong. Now, let me just share this with you. Some of you are stubborn about it. Some of you are just scared. You know, and by the way, I understand that, Brother Bo. Not everybody that's not going is backslidden and wicked. Some people just don't know. You know, if you're going to have a mouth that's willing to speak, let me just share this with you. It takes some training. You have to be able, you have to learn how to take the Bible and skillfully open it up and share the gospel with somebody in order to lead them to Jesus Christ. It's not a difficult thing to learn, but it is something that has to be learned. It's, by the way, it's something that needs to be practiced and honed. And let me just share this with you, and I want to wrap this up. Now look up here and give me your full attention. I want to see every house knocked on, every door knocked on, the gospel hand-delivered to every person inside that circle in 07, even while we're building a building. Now let me tell you what the plan's been to this far, and I'll be honest with you, it's working, but it's too slow. It's too slow. Young people, first of all, let me congratulate you. Our young people on Wednesdays load up on a bus, and they did it for years underneath me, and now Brother Reiser takes them, and some of our adults go with them and help. But they go to every populated area inside that circle. We have to do it that way, folks, because the young people cannot drive. We need to keep them together. We take them on a bus, so we have to go to populated areas. We cannot do the rural highways and byways. We can't do that with our young people. But thank God, young people, because I will tell you this, every single year since about 1995 or 96 on, the young people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church has effectively saturated every rural community with the gospel of Jesus Christ every year, 96, 97, 98, 99. Many of those years we did all of them twice. Several of those years we did all of them twice. The problem we're having is in reaching the rural area. What we do is, what we try to do and have done up to this point, is we take our Saturday mornings and we hand out maps. Where, by the way, it's very systematic. It's very organized. It's done in such a way so we don't miss anybody. But we literally go out, and I mean, I'll take a map every single week and I'll have certain roads highlighted and I'll hand it to a person. I'll say, go to this area, and I'll show them on the map where it is, and go to this road and knock on the houses on this road, and they'll write on the map, we finished to here, or we finished all of it, and they sign off on it. And when that's finished, we give another one. We systematically go through every township in our area. But folks, it's rural, it's spread out, it's highways, it's byways, it's Green, Sullivan, Clay County, it's hoots and hollers, and lanes and gravel roads, and it takes a long time for a handful of people on a Saturday morning to cover that entire circle. In the past, it's taken us about 18 months to go through that circle on average. This year, it's even taken longer. Now, listen very carefully what I'm going to say. Saturday mornings, if that's all we can do, we'll keep doing it. But this year, I've got to take Saturdays, and we've got to commit those to work days. Now, what I need is I need, I mentioned earlier about our disciples sitting up here. You know what? I need some disciples. I want you to listen to me, and I want to share my heart with you. I want you to take the week and pray about it. Think about this. Don't let this get away from you. Don't let the seed get snatched away. Listen to me. I need 12 people that'll take a township each. This may be a couple, maybe a husband and wife that'll say, Brother Jerry, you know what? This year, if you'll give me maps, and by the way, we'll give this to you. We'll train you. We'll show you what we need to do. But I need 12 people that are already been trained. You've already been trained. Maybe you're not the greatest soul winner in the world, but you at least know what to do and where to go and how to speak to people. I need 12 that are already trained. That's very important. Already trained. It's effective at witnessing. Already trained. To say I need 12 couples. Maybe if this would be a husband-wife team. It might be an individual. It might be three or four of you college-age guys that aren't married. Just say, we'll take one. But you will commit to 07 to knock on every door in whatever township that you'd like to pick. Now, listen to me very carefully, because that's not all I want to do. I'm going to also, next week, make available a place for you to sign up. Say, Brother Jerry, even if I wanted to do that and my heart was open to that and I have a burning desire to do that, I don't know how to do that. Well, I think there's a reason that Jesus sent them two by two. He sent them two by two because a lot of times what you have is a trainer-trainee situation. You see, when I went to Bible college, one of the reasons I went to Bible college was to join something called the Fisherman's Club to learn how to be a soul winner. And I didn't know how to be a soul winner, but I wanted to learn how to be a soul winner. So I went with a man that was an experienced soul winner. And you know what? He took me every week for an entire semester and trained me and showed me by example and then by helping me do it how to be a soul winner. And at the end of that one semester, I was promoted to a trainer, and then I trained two men the next semester how to be soul winners. The next semester after that, I trained another guy. The next semester after that, I trained three more men. And every time I would train one, what they would do is then they would begin to train somebody. And pretty soon, folks, guess what? If you didn't know how, you knew how. Not only did you know how to do it, but you could go train somebody else to do it. Now, during the month of March, listen very carefully what I'm going to say. We're going to take either, and I'm going to have to decide on this, I haven't nailed it down yet, either Sunday nights or Wednesday nights in the month of March. And we're going to teach a soul winning course. And I'm going to teach everyone in here how to be a soul winner. And I'm going to show you how to do it. Every one of you that already know, it'll be a great refresher course for you. And those of you that don't know, come take notes and we'll get you ready to go. By the end of March, and even during March, I want to start taking people who want to be trained and hooking them up with somebody that's already trained, that already knows how to do it, and send you together and partner you. So if you're a couple and you say, Brother Jerry, I'll take one of those townships. I want you to take it, but I don't want you to just take it and go knock on the doors yourself. I want you to take someone who does not know how to knock on doors and train them how to knock on doors and how to be a soul winner and how to give the gospel door to door. By the way, the 12 folks I have, or the 12 couples I have, or the 12 key folks I have here, I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to meet with you probably every other week. We're going to have a meeting every other week. There's going to be some accountability. I don't want you to take this and then throw it on do it for 2 weeks, throw it over on the dresser somewhere, and 6 months later you haven't done anything about it. I want you to take it seriously. Well, Brother Jerry, we're going to be busy out here. I know we're going to be busy out here, but let's suppose Jesus Christ comes back at the beginning of 2008. I don't want the last year we had here to just be about putting nails in wood. I want about it being putting souls into heaven. Now, this is a great opportunity for you. A great opportunity for you. Now, let me give you one more thing, and then we'll finish up here. I not only want you to commit yourself to knock on every door in one of the townships and to train somebody, but this is so important. Man, I got excited about this. When God gave this to me, I'm telling you what, I had a spell right back there in my office. Because I believe this with all my heart. I believe. Remember what I said? I said you need to decide to go, you need to decide when to go, you need to decide where to go. You know what? There's something about getting an area and getting burdened for an area and taking that map of that township and say, in 07, this is me and my family's area, and we are going to pray over this map, and we're going to pray for this township, and we're going to visit this township. Watch this. And we're going to not only ask God to allow us to touch every door and to present the gospel to every door, but we're going to ask God to give us one family in 07 out of that township that will be acclimated into Blessed Hope Baptist Church as faithful members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to ask God to give us a family. Now, folks, listen to me. This is very important. I need to preach a message on this one of these days, but God did a work in my heart one day, and I don't even know. You say, "Brother Jerry, I don't think that's the correct interpretation." But I read that parable of the pearl of great price. Let me tell you what my philosophy's been. I try to get the gospel to everybody, but every once in a while, I'm always looking for that pearl of great price. Because I believe somewhere, you hear what this man preached this morning? Somewhere out there, folks, there's a family sitting there waiting, and God's got them ready. There's an Ethiopian eunuch that's been prepared, and people's been touching their life, and they're just waiting. Suppose we had 12 people take 12 townships and said, not only are we going to cover every door, and we're going to train somebody while we're doing it. Because you understand in 08, instead of having 12, then we've got 24 people, 24 groups that are trained that can then train other people. Are you getting this? Now, eventually, what I'm going to do is try to get to everybody and train everybody. You won't get off this. No, I won't. Everybody ought to be trained. Everybody ought to be doing it. Everybody ought to be out knocking on doors. You need to be the next missionary that's sent out of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Praise God, we got Brother Luke. And maybe Lacey and Dave. Forget that. What about us? You need to be the next one. You know, well, that's not my thing. Well, make it your thing. Wasn't my thing either before I went out and learned how to do it and decided I was going to do it and just kept doing it and getting on my knees and asking God to break my heart and learning and practicing and stumbling but not giving up, wanting God to use me to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is big stuff. This is big stuff. And so think about this. At the end of this time, now this means that you're going to make a commitment to this. You're going to cover this. This means you're going to train somebody. And this means that you're not going to let go of the horns of the altar. You're not going to let go of that angel and let him get away till you say, God, give us a family, a new family. Somewhere out of this township, there's a new family. Now, let's suppose God just watched a bunch of crazy Baptists make that commitment and decide to answer our prayer. What happens if at this time next year there's 12 new families sitting here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Now, this is what I'm saying tonight, so look up here and let me have your heart and we're done. I'm glad Brother DeLong's going to Australia. And you know what? I think he'd be a good investment, don't you? Got a proven track record. He's gone out there and done it. But you know what? It'd be a shame for me to send him to do something that I wouldn't do, brother. That'd be shameful. Be shameful. And so what I want to do is I want us to be the missionaries that I prayed for a few days ago in that hallway back there. I want us to be that 100 missionaries. I'm walking up down that hallway saying, God, this is good. And God, I'm glad we're supporting these 38 men, but I want to do 100 more. God, how can I do 100 more? And I'm trying to figure out financially how to do 100 more. Hey, Brother Jerry, you're crazy. You don't know half the things that I'm thinking of, or you would get out of here right now. You'd run for the hills. God, let me tell you something. I mean, somebody's got to get a vision. Somebody's got to lift up their eyes into the field. Somebody's got to say, you know what? Let's just shock the world. Let's just do something that's so unreasonable and unbelievable that when it's all said and done, people will say, well, it had to be God. Nobody could have done that. Yes, amen. And God smote my heart. And he said, before you start praying to me and asking me to send 100 people in here so that you can financially support them and send them out, get the 100 that you already have in the mission field. Get the 100 that's already here that's not going. Get them going. Get them weeping. Get them speaking out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Get that done. And I pray God would touch your heart about this. I'm talking about some of you, and I love you. I love you to death. Listen, I'm glad to be your preacher. If you don't listen to anything that I say, I'm still glad to be your preacher. I still want you here. I still want to be your best friend. I'll visit you in the hospital. I love you. And I'll do everything I can to pastor you. But listen to me. Listen to me. I would be derelict in my duty if I did not prompt you to go out and be obedient in this matter of helping us in the mission field. It's important. It's important. So I want you to pray about that. I want you to pray about that. You say, Brother Jerry, what if there's more than 12 that want to do it? Oh, I suppose we can find somewhere to send you. Bro, that's just the beginning. That's just the base of it. And there's many of you. And by the way, listen, I was where you're at. You're sitting there saying, Brother Jerry, I'd like to be one of those 12, but I'll be honest with you. I don't know how to do it. I don't know if I had the personality to do it. I'm scared out of my mind to do it. You know what? So was I. But somebody took me under their wing. Said, come on, son, let me show you some things. Let me teach you some things. Some of the men in this church that's still here, when I was a 16-year-old boy, said, just ride along. Listen. Just listen. Ride along. And I got underneath the tutelage of some men that were soul winners, and they taught me to be a soul winner. And you know what? I've taught several people to be soul winners since then. I want to teach some more in 07. I don't want to just be one. I want to teach somebody in this room how to be a soul winner. Amen? It's going to take a commitment. It's going to take a commitment. It's like any new thing. Woo! After about 3 weeks, it's taking a commitment. It's just saying, I'm going to take this time. I'm going to block it out. I'm not going to let the devil get on top of it. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Do something in our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the soul-winning spirit that's in this church. Lord, for many, many people in the sound of my voice, the preacher's just encouraging them to do something they're already doing. They're already out there. But there was a time they weren't. And Lord, I pray that we'd never get to the point where we look down our nose at somebody that's maybe not as far along as we are. And Lord, I would imagine each of us that are doing it had somebody that helped us learn how to do it. I pray, Lord, that those that are doing it would do more. And those that aren't doing it, Lord, would just come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm not even sure what I'm signing up for. But Lord, it needs to be done, and you're speaking to my heart. So give me feet that are willing to go, a heart that's willing to weep, and a mouth that's willing to speak, and help me in 2007. Help me in 2007 to become a soul winner. Lord, we need to build a building. It's going to take financial sacrifice. It's going to take a lot of extra hours. We're going to have a tired group. But Lord, help us not to be so busy building a building that we forget to go after souls. Help us, Lord, to do something sweet and miraculous. We pray these things in Jesus' name.